All right, let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, and we're getting back into 1 Thessalonians. And I think last week it was so wondrous how the Lord, I believe, you know, you just talk about the sweetness of the Spirit and how sweet it is and what God is doing and how grateful to God that I believe I can speak for all of us that there's this invitation into the crown glory and it's growing more real all the time, isn't it? It's real. It's like you can taste it. Praise God. It's not just something we talk about anymore. It's yours. It's mine. And God is drawing us and drawing us like never before. It's increasing at an increasing rate. And I'm thankful to God. He's not any respecter of person as far as our age, our income, our education. And I'm so grateful to God in that. And as we continue to read this and as the Lord takes my heart back and forth over it, I think if it was ever a letter with a title on it, it would be ready. And I know that that really is the whole Word of God, isn't it? But really, in this wonderful letter, I can't get over, he's just 3 weeks with these folks. And he's writing this from Corinth. And we studied Corinthians. You know how he's probably hitting his head against the wall thinking, I just wish I could get back to those folks that really love the Lord. And you see how he loved them. He just did. He knew that they had a heart for the deepest things of God. And it was Paul's just his everything that was within him, his compassion, his obsession was to get back to fellowship by the grace of God with these saints. And it was so precious about this being ready. Now we left off in the 12th verse and we'll go ahead and read that. It says, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. And that's our calling, brothers and sisters. And I hope that there wouldn't be a day that we wouldn't ask the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, you've made me worthy, like we talked earlier. But Lord, allow me to walk worthy. I know I need the grace of God in order to walk worthy. And I've mentioned to you how this sweet trial, and it gets more precious all the time, that the Lord's had in my body, and I don't mean to make too much of it, but it's been a precious thing to me. And how He's really brought me to points often where I couldn't go any further. And praise be to God, it would be, Lord, I write to the throne of grace, immediately to the throne of grace, and say, Lord, I need more grace. I got to have it right now. And, you know, it's there. And it's so wonderful. It's so tangible. And it really is that faith. It is the substance. And it is the evidence. And it's right there for you. And whatever it would be, whether we're talking addictions, whether we're talking financial situations, whether we're talking disagreements in our family, whatever it would be, it's immediately to the throne of grace and saying, Lord, I know you have this for me. I'm in this trial specifically right now to grow up and to grow up more. And you might be wanting to grow up fast because you're coming. And I need this grace. And it's there. And that grace comes, and that's what builds the faith that God so graciously has given me. And it's real. I'm so grateful to God that it's right there. So in this, you know, that we would walk worthy, it's so precious because this is the crown glory walk. This is the race winner of Christ Jesus encouragement talk that he's giving in here. We rejoiced in that this is Ephesians 4:1. Where it says that we would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And that word vocation is the same word that you'll find over there in Philippians that it's talking about. It's the high calling. It's not just a calling. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus calling. And this is what he's getting at here is that, you know, he is speaking to these saints that are looking for him to come. And we'll go into, if the Lord tarry, into the fourth chapter here. And Paul is going to encourage them to be the saints that are alive. Not just a saint, but an alive saint. And there's something special about that alive saint. Because they're the ones that are going to meet him in the air. That word alive, we'll go back in over into Revelation. And we'll see that that's the same word. And we know this, that's used there in the four living ones. And praise be to God, that's the company that you'll find, the only one that you'll find, in the midst of the throne in that vision in heaven. So praise the Lord. This is what he's getting at. So I'm just so grateful to God that it isn't on how long I've been coming to church. It isn't how long I've been doing it. It's now. It's about right now. And it's about being ready right now. Praise God. And this is where he's leading us into. And this is the glory that he's offering to us. So let's go ahead and pick it up from the 13th verse. And he says there in the second chapter, 13th verse, 1 Thessalonians. For this cause also, thank we God, without ceasing. Without ceasing, it's continually. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So this is so mighty. See, Paul was thankful, not because there was a big crowd, not because they brought him into a beautiful church, not because of anything else, except these precious saints were receiving the word of God as truth. And I can say, praise be to God, I'm thankful for you. I believe that we come here, brothers and sisters, to receive the word as truth. That's why we come here. Because it is the Word of God. And we come here to preach the Word of God and nothing else. To magnify Jesus Christ. To give God all the glory by magnifying His Son. And that's what this time is about. That's what this life is about. And you notice here it says that He thanked God without ceasing. We talked a couple of weeks ago. Paul was a man that knew sorrow, wasn't he? He was a man that was sorrowful often. Often sorrowful, but he was always thankful. And that's a big one. That's a huge one. This is about the overcomer in Christ Jesus, always thankful, continually in the state of thanksgiving to God. I said it earlier, the evidence of great faith is thankfulness in everything. I hope we really embrace that. The evidence of great faith is thankfulness in everything. And it really is. When we're not thankful, we're not believing God. We're not. We're not being content in whatsoever state we're in. We're not embracing that God, you have specifically put me in exactly the state that you want me to be in, and therewith to be content. Food and raiment? The way this world's going, well, I'll tell you what, we better believe the Lord. It's getting expensive. But see, He's our provider. We know that. And praise the Lord, it is completely upside down. It's spinning out of control. And that's why we know that, hallelujah, who holds it all in place. But it's just that what believing in God does, it makes you thankful for everything. When we believe in the Lord, because we know the plan of God. You might say it like this, that you know you've got the lotto ticket to the exceeding riches of His grace. You do. You have that. And someday, by the grace of God, you're going to lay it in for a crown. Isn't that wonderful? Here, Lord, I'm here. Praise God. And as I was thinking about that, how many times sweet Brother Hill would say, payday someday. And it's going to be someday. Praise God. And every day, even this morning, I got up and I was thinking, and it was good day. You know, I didn't have too many things hurting. Everything was still in place. My wife was smiling. My kids, yep, they were home from school, but, you know, they haven't gotten all out of sorts yet. And I thought, another day closer, Lord. What, another day closer. Yeah, that's the way it is. So praise the Lord. But here it is. What he's saying here is these are not just words. This Bible, these aren't just words. That's the problem. People read them as literature. They'll read them as nice sayings. I appreciate seeing the Word of God in people's homes. Don't get me wrong. But by the grace of God, Lord, get that saying off the wall and get it in my heart. That I'm living this. That it is alive. It's living. It is my life. Christ in me. That's the life that I now live. That this isn't Bible literature. That we don't approach this as seminary or something to be expanded upon because of man's wisdom. Something to be compared with other religions or something to be compared with other writings. It's the one and it's the only Word of God. And we have to believe that, brothers and sisters. And I know that we do believe that. But don't be ashamed of it. Don't hide from that. By the grace of God, let it be our banner. Let us profess that. I'm thankful to God that I am different. And I don't care if you think me shallow. I don't care if you think me that you're just so one way about it. Praise be to God. He said, I am the way. Not a way. The way. This is God we're talking about. This is your God. And He died for you. I think at least I could profess Him as my Savior. I think at least I could embrace the grace of God to stand. When you love Him, you know, that's when we'll obey Him. That's when He'll begin to work in our lives, and it's wonderful. But this is the truth. It's the only truth. And when we accept it as these brothers and sisters did, and make it final to our hearts that it is just that, that it is the Word of God, it's going to work effectually in you. It will. And you know it. And you know the times that it finally hit your life where you said, you know what, Lord, You did say that. And I believe it. And you know what? He'll make it yours. And He'll show it to you. And He'll prove Himself to you. Praise God. He'll show Himself to you. We're going to talk about Sunday. There's nothing more the Lord wants to do than speak to you. There's no question that He wants to speak to you. The question is, are you wanting to listen? That is the truth. He wants to talk to you. His sheep know His voice. Nothing more that He wants you to know than He loves you. But are you willing to go to the places that He's got to take you to whisper those words to you? Yeah. This is God. This is different. It's exciting. I love great movies. I like great stories and things. I saw a great movie, I thought, the other day. I like that National Treasure stuff. You know, they're always looking for those clues and signs and all that. I got that all right here. You do. And this is real. You talk about the mother load you're walking into. Praise God. And it's there. And I'm excited to God that He makes it. You know, that is, I know that Brother Hawkins, and I love him so. And I'm just learning in the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he is such a sweet brother and so much wisdom. And I told him soon after the Lord called me in to be a minister, I said, oh, I'm having fun in the Lord. And he just went, oh. And I could hear in the back of his mind was, oh, just wait, brother. Just wait. You know. And he's right in a way, but you know what? I'm still having fun in the Lord. I'm having fun with Jesus. I mean, it is. I'm so thankful. I'm grateful to God. I hope you have fun with people you love, whether it's your spouse or your kids. You should. But you see, they made it final in their hearts, and it worked effectually in them because they believe. And just being around the Word of God, just being raised in the Word of God, that's not going to get it. Did you hear that? Oh, no, wait a second. I was in this family that went in this church all the time. Just being raised in it and being around it. Wonderful thing. I praise God for it. But that's not going to get it. You have to believe it. It has to be yours. Things are going to fight you all the time. You're going to rely on mom's faith. Or you might rely on so-and-so faith. Oh, I love my pastor. He inspires me so. Or maybe I love my pastor, but he doesn't inspire anything except for me to want to get out of church early. I don't know, but you know what? It's got to be God. It's got to be God that gets it done, that inspires you, and that you take it for your own. And then it's so wonderful because the more that we take in, the more that we believe, the greater your faith grows. And you're going to need it because He's going to bring things in that are going to cause that faith to need to be exercised. And praise the Lord, we want to be strong in His might. And, you know, you live those promises and we rejoice in those promises. And I have to tell you, life gets better because we start living that abundant life. It does when we believe God. But these brothers and sisters, they loved the Bible. They loved the Bible. They came to church to feed. What do you think about that? They came to church to feed. They didn't come to church to feel. But there's something so amazing. When you come to church to feed, He'll cause you to feel like never before. And that is the truth. And you do. See, a lot of people think, you know, you don't want to feel, you don't want to have emotion and stuff. Oh my goodness. He'll bring you feeling and emotion like you can never imagine. But it will be godly. It'll be a godly thing, and that's the difference. And I'm telling you, it will be a feeling that will last. It won't be something that'll just come and go. In faith, we possess the things of God. In faith, we possess the things of God. And faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I just think that's so wonderful. You talk about Him just connecting the dots for you. And that's what God does. And He makes it easy. And He puts these pieces together for you. But we need to believe Him. Line upon line. You can't miss anything. It's all. And really, it's all or nothing in a lot of ways, brothers and sisters. I want to be a man full of faith. And a man full of faith is going to receive the Word of God. He's going to receive the correction. He's going to receive the admonishing. All of the things. Exhorting. All of the different things that come through the Word of God. They're for us. Don't take pieces of it by the grace of God. Say, Lord, I want everything that You want to give me. And I'm praying to God that I'm in season right now for You to bring that to me, Lord. And it is just so mighty. But there's even more evidence of their love. And let's get on to verse 14. We're going to get out of 13 tonight. Okay, here we go. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. We'll keep reading 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now, these churches he's talking about here in Judea were the churches that were planted by Peter. And as Brother Copley notes, they were planted not in denominations. They weren't planted church in a big organizational structure. They were planted in one thing, and that was in Christ Jesus. And that's important. And I'm so grateful to God that it's an organism. It's not an organization. And I'm grateful to God that we do have churches that we fellowship. But God is the head. And God is the one that sets out His plan. And God knows what this meeting needs at this time. And Brother Hawkins' meeting needs at this time. And Brother Hines' meeting needs at this time. And the one thing that's consistent in all of it, it's preach the Word. Isn't that wonderful? But praise the Lord. We don't have a schedule. We don't have all of these different things, a different series of events. And this is how it's going to be and how it's going to be taught. We're going to let the Spirit lead. And in the Spirit's leading, then you're going to grow up into Him in all things. And that's the way it's going to work by the grace of God. Now, it says here that they followed Christ. And they begin to follow Paul as he followed Christ into the midst of the throne glory. And they suffered. And they did it willingly. Okay, there's a difference there. They didn't suffer and do it grudgingly. They brought in there and they said, we'll have it willingly in our lives, Lord. We'll take it as a joyful thing. They knew in the Word of God, even back then, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. There's a purpose in the suffering. I'm so grateful to God that I understand this. That God can bring me this real faith that says, Lord, I do understand that this is working together for my good. My eternal good. That there is a pattern that's being worked here. And praise the Lord, we know that we're children. We know that we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer together with Him, that we may be glorified together. Now, I can't imagine that. But I praise the Lord and just believe it. And say, Lord, I understand as I go through this life. And I walk those before ordained good works that I should walk in. That plan that You had with the Father for me before a star was ever set in heaven. If I will really embrace that and believe that in my life and accept the grace of God and understand that I am Your workmanship, my oh my, what He's going to build in my life. It's going to be right. It's perfect. It's already ordered. And it's ordered of God. And it's ordered of God not for me just to be saved, but to know Him, to come into that full knowledge of the truth. And I can't imagine that Jesus loves us like that, but He does. And it goes on to say here, just as Peter's Jewish converts suffered at the hands of the Jews, so did these Gentiles suffer at the hands of the Gentile country, of their Gentile countrymen. And you know what you get out of that? Is that hatred toward God has no respecter of person. They don't. Hatred toward God has no respecter of person. The Jews persecuted the Christians just as the Romans did. They all did it. And they're still doing it today in different ways, in different forms, in different fashions. And let me tell you something, it's coming. And Paul pulls no punches here. And I love that he doesn't. And I appreciate that the Lord tells it as it is. It says that the Jew killed the Lord and their own prophets. Now I want us to understand this. My sins, just as your sins, put Jesus Christ upon that cross. Do you know that? But what the point is here is the mercy and the grace that was just poured out to these Jews, even though God knew, and still pours out today. And by grace, if they would just only accept and understand, you talk about a people that God has loved and have done so much for. But here it says, they please not God and are contrary to all men. And I'm going to tell you something. That is the truth. And that is the truth as it still is today. I was thinking here of even the United States. Probably the greatest advocate of Israel today. Wouldn't you agree? I think we do a lot of things for Israel. As far as any nation that seems to be pretty outspoken to protect them, to believe the Word of God, to understand that we are to pray for Israel, that we are to protect Israel. And yet, little Israel, what do? They still do things contrary to the United States of America, don't they? They send spies over here to spy on us. They do all the different things. They kind of get out of line from time to time. They do things on their own terms, as God is leading them, contrary to all men. See, you cannot prove the Word of God wrong. He tells you like it is. And they're a peculiar people. And they're at odds with all men. And they just are. You talk about a people that are discriminated against. And I'm talking all over the world. And people that have been persecuted in every single century. Every decade. It's the Jew. And that's the truth. And just know it. But they're the ones that will be contrary to all men. As a man said, you explain to me Israel apart from the Bible, and then I'll believe that there's no God. Because there's no other way to explain all that. There just isn't. And the only explanation is the Word of God. You know? And I love it. I think it's so perfect how the Arab has the oil. That was the fat of the land. You know that was the promise that was given there. You talk about the fat of the land. Don't even have to really cultivate, harvest, or plow up that. All you have to do, well, they used to, in some places, they just go out there and pick it up because it's oozing up from the ground. That's all you got to do. I wonder why it wasn't down in old Mexico, huh? Or all these other places. I know they have certain deposits of it, but see, that's God. And it's all coming to a head. At $130 a barrel, let me tell you something, it's coming fast. You better know it. About ready to throw the money in the streets? Didn't realize you couldn't even drive. You were thinking you couldn't afford the bread. Now you can't even drive to get there. Come on. It's exciting what's going on. But it even gets more tragic here. Let's go on to verse 16. Forbidding. This is what they did. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now see, this is something that really gets to be a real problem here, is when you hinder the truth. Don't touch my little ones. You know, you don't do that. You don't realize, and I hope you do shudder for people that truly start butting up against God. And I'm talking about Christians as well too. When that starts to happen, you just don't know what you're doing. You know, you can mock God, you can offend, and God's not going to be mocked anyways. But when you start touching His little ones, when you start touching the apple of His eye, when you start coming in and trying to hinder the truth like this was going on, there's a consequence. And they hindered Paul. And they hindered Paul so much that there was such a great rebellion there that it said that they didn't just sin, they fill up their sins always. They're just given over to it. They're consumed with it. And brothers and sisters, we're in a time like that now. They're just consumed with themselves. I'm talking about man. The things that they do to defame Christ. And I don't mean to get, you know, too much into even our sad government at times, but I have to say our arts and the things that they've done to the crucifix and to pictures of Jesus Christ, even though they don't have this picture right anyways, but it's just the thought of what they do. They just don't realize. But they forbade them to give out the salvation message. They were completely overcome with sin, and it never left them. And God will not be mocked. He's just not going to be mocked. And the ending judgment, we know as we read the Word of God, there is a lake of fire. It's not just hell. It doesn't end there. We're talking about God's judgment here. And that's coming. But let me tell you something. In the short term, there was some sufferings to the uttermost as well, too. And I appreciated Brother Copley noting this as well, as some of the history books do. But in the reign of Titus in 70 AD, so this was not very long after this, the Roman rule at that time was so harsh to the Jew that the Jews were starved. You heard of Masada and all of those different things. Well, there was different things going on even in Jerusalem at this time, but the Romans had starved them so much that the Jews started killing their own children for food. And that's documented in history. Josephus was one of the writers. So see, these things can happen. And you know what? We studied Revelation. They were crying for the rocks to fall upon them. They haven't seen anything yet of the wrath of God and what things are going to happen. And God forbid, I mean, you pray for people. You don't want anybody to face those types of things. But it is coming. And we need to know that. Okay, let's go on verse 17 and 18. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. They really, he loved getting together with him, didn't he? The much the more as you see that day approaching. Paul lived the Scriptures. He didn't just write them, didn't just preach them. He was living these things. And he wanted to get with these wonderful brothers and sisters. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So see, Paul here is an affectionate preacher. He loved them with the love of God. As I noted earlier, he was writing this from Corinth. I hope he didn't show this letter to the Corinthians, but maybe he needed to. But he would have made them feel bad, wouldn't he? He said, oh, I want to get out of here. I really want to be with them. But he was encouraging those brothers and sisters. And see, the Lord knew that they needed it more, didn't they? See, and I always remember Brother Hill at times. And I told you, I think I was feeling sorry for myself one time. And I was, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years old. And I didn't feel like he was noticing me at all. I never even said hi or had much time at all. And so finally I said, you know, you're my grandpa, you know. And I'd like to get with you. And I just feel like we just don't get... He said, now, honey, it's not that I don't love you. And I love being with you. And I'm so thankful as time got on there, we got to spend more time together and things. But he says, you know, there's some that need more time right now, honey. And you need to understand that. And you know what? I understand it. And Paul understood it too. That maybe he had a desire to be here or to be with these different ones, you know. But God had him with the ones that really needed him. Let me tell you something. We got in Corinthians and those people really needed Paul to be there, didn't they? They were... on all sorts of things. These sweet Thessalonians, they knew and settled in real quickly to the things of God. Because why? Because they received it as truth. They received it as the Word of God. Now, that's the saint by the grace of God we need to be. We need to be that. But we also need to understand of all of these different types and shadows that are coming out here is that we need to also be compassionate to those that are really in need. And sometimes, as the Word of God tells us, there's certain body parts that need a little bit more tending to than others. What do you think? Okay? So let's understand that. Let's look to the need of our brother. But he was so filled with the love of God, he couldn't help but preach the truth in love. He couldn't get away from it. He was a prisoner of the love of God. He was completely given over to the love of God. Just as the Jew that he was talking about here, they were completely given over to sin. The passion that is read here is the agape divine love passion. This is the brotherly love of the Philadelphia saints. This is the bridal love that I pray, brothers and sisters, that we have one for another. And this is why he's giving this out. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. This wasn't just the example to say, wow, Paul, you were a great guy. That's really nice. I'm going to go live my life. No, he said, follow me. There is a pattern. Absolutely. This is the pattern. And not the pattern just for a pastor. This is encouraging my life greatly reading this. Brothers and sisters, this is ours. This is for us. This is for this wonderful church, as it was read of here. But this is the Philadelphia church that by the grace of God we're being called into at this time. The bridal love. Love for one another. And I'm so grateful to God. I mentioned this in times past, how when you fall in love with somebody, or you, especially when you marry someone, you don't just marry their head. You don't. You marry the body too. And Jesus Christ obviously is the head, but he's got a wonderful body, an incredible body. And that's the saints. And that love that Paul is demonstrating here is the love of the ones that will be in that bridal company. They'll love the whole thing. And they'll have a compassion to be and a passion to be with that body. He loved the thought that he would be marrying them. This was beyond any desire. This was beyond any pleasure that we really could imagine here. See, we have to get to heavenly pleasure. I was talking to a brother about that. Heavenly pleasures. I'm going to need a glorified body for that one, aren't I? How about you? To even step into it. We're talking about the exceeding riches of His grace pleasures. We're talking about eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men. And you think about, even in your own life, the pleasures that you've experienced, or the pleasures that you've thought of experiencing. What God has prepared for them that love Him. You haven't even imagined it yet. You haven't even comprehended it yet. And I know that Spirit's been dealing with you greatly. But you know what? It's still beyond. And it's still going to take that glorified body for us to even step into. And I just am so thankful to God. It is going to be worth the wait, isn't it? You think so? Think it's going to be worth it all? I do believe it. I'm so grateful to God. And you know what? We're just reading the Word here. It's just the Word of God. These aren't opinions. These aren't thoughts. This is just the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful to rightfully divide it? I love it. Praise the Lord. I was enjoying a little talk with a sister this evening and talking about breaking it down and looking at this and all of this. And we were saying, yeah, and you know, by the grace of God, we do. We're supposed to break it down, rightfully divide it. But then He's the one that puts it all together. He's the one that brings it all together. Because by Him, all things consist and hold together. Amen? Amen. So see, that's all He's asked us to do, is to love it, to dig into it. So, I don't know, I said, well, sometimes I feel like I'm digging into it like a tossed salad. Or am I digging into it like a gold mine? And I can see them nuggets coming up. And every time a nugget comes up, it's a bigger one. And I got to dig in there more, huh? Isn't that the way it is with the Lord? Praise His name. But Paul wanted so to get back to them. And I think an important part here is he wanted to get back, but the Lord allowed. See, this is a precious thought here. The Lord allowed Satan to hinder him. Can you imagine that? Huh? Well, that happened to you. You did something wrong. I knew you were a little off and earlier in your payday. Now, I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that are like that. Oh, what's that actress on there? Oh, it's got to be karma. Aura. Oh, my goodness. You know, there's a time. You follow the Word of God, you just keep your mouth shut. You know, really. They're finding that out. I think the one that, if the Lord lasts long enough, the one who will win the election is the one who will keep his mouth shut. Mark my word, I think you're right. Have laryngitis for about the next 4 months, and that'll be the winner. But, I'll get myself in trouble, won't I? I hope you know, I know that God's already determined that. Do you know that? He puts up whom He will and down whom He will. That's why you don't get excited about that stuff. I'm going to be quiet. I don't want anybody to go home too sour tonight. All right. But he allowed Satan to hinder him. And see, that's another precious thing that we know that it's always under God's control. There are no powers but of God. See, again, we give way too much credibility. I'm thankful that the devil is always on the move. But see, I understand that that enabling that he has is only from God. And I know specifically that the enabling that he has that affects my life is specifically ordered from God. And it wasn't just a haphazard plan or, well, let's think of this today. It was planned way back when for your life. It was planned way back. It's a perfect plan. It's an everything and all thing working together for my good plan. Yeah. I mean, that. How much more secure could you ever be? But Brother Copley stated it like this, and I want you to listen to this. If you haven't listened yet tonight, let's listen to this. So sweet. We would think, here's what he said. We should not think it strange when the devil hinders us. The more faithful and the more loyal we are to Jesus and His Word, the more our adversary will try to block our way. If possible, he will make us sick in body or cripple us. He will start false reports about us. He will make some Christian people critical and fault-finding of our conduct and teaching. If we walk in the light, we need not fear that we will be lifted up with pride. Satan will be allowed to give us enough raps over the head to keep us dependent on the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm confident that one of the people that he was writing that to 70 years ago was me. I'm understanding this. And not just understanding this, by the grace of God, living it. And it's a privilege. It is an absolute privilege to thank God you're allowing little old me to suffer with your son. And I mean that by the grace of God. Praise His name. What a privilege, brothers and sisters. You know, we can finish this out. Let's go ahead. 19 and 20. For what is our hope? Now, Paul's telling you what the ultimate here. Or joy? Or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now this is some precious talk, isn't it? Praise the Lord. This is, you know, what love here. And he used this language to one other group of folks in Philippians. And you'll find that in Philippians 4:1, where he said, my crown, my joy, my rejoicing. And obviously those are the Philadelphia saints. Isn't that wonderful? And the reason that he does this is because this group is running for the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. You'll find that in Philippians 3:14. See, it's not just coincidental. It is what it is. And he wasn't judging anyone, was he? He just knew who had a heart for God. And the Holy Spirit moved him. And so he wrote this wonderful letter to these Thessalonians. And it's just amazing that this happens to be a part of the Philadelphia church. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And he's given this to us. And by the grace of God, we're rejoicing in this. And as we've read and as we know, we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, tonight. You're going to find yourself in one of those seven churches. You're going to find yourself there. Okay? Now, by the grace of God, we've heard this message. We've embraced this message. God has given us this message. But what are we going to do with this message? Are we going to live it? Or am I going to just kind of put it aside and say, man, it's really special. I'll show up. But there's just, I had to leave that first love. God help us. And you see how easily it could be missed. And it's not something that I walk in fear of to miss. It's not a fear to miss it. It would be a sadness to miss it. See, there's no, that perfect love casts out all fear. You know what I'm saying? It's I love Him. And I want to be with Him. And I want to be with the one I love. And I really want to be with the one that loves me like this. And I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to miss it, as we're going to read about, whether I was drunken in the night when he came or whether I was sleeping in the night when he came. Whether you were carnal and just out there bumming in the world or you were carnal and just sitting there in your self-righteousness sleeping. You see what I'm getting at? See what the Word of God is trying to tell us? Missing it is missing it. But getting it is getting it. And praise God, I want to get it. And all he said is just, as he's saying to these precious brothers and sisters, love me, fall in love with me. And this letter, as he goes on, he expands out here. In 2 Timothy 4, remember when we were rejoicing in this about a Sunday or two ago? That crown. And that word crown means nuptial joy. I love it. Lord, it's just perfect. It's all over the Word of God. I was rejoicing with a sister here this week. And she said, man, it's in the Psalms. It's not just in one psalm. It's in all the psalms. And then I see it over here. And I see it over there. And it's all the way through the Word of God, isn't it? And it's not that I'm forcing it or trying to study it out to see it. It's just that he said, you know what, get in there. I'll show it to you. It's spiritually discerned. I love you. I'm going to be faithful. But it was received, that nuptial crown was received to those that would meet him first, to those that would meet him in the air. And I'm going to tell you a little something in case you didn't know this. But in every single one of these chapters of the first book of Thessalonians, every one of them ends with the emphasis of meeting the Lord. Not just at the end of the whole thing. Every single chapter. Jesus is coming. But not that just Jesus is coming, but be ready to meet Jesus because he's coming. Yeah. Whole difference, isn't it? Talk to any Christian pretty much. Yeah, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. It's going to be great to see Jesus. No, are you ready to meet Jesus? Huh? And then, you know, it can kind of be a little arrogant statement. No. I'm just talking, it's not that, you know, there's these qualifications and different things. The qualification is, do I love his appearing? Do I love Jesus? Is that what I'm loving in this life? And that's what he's getting at here. And this is the encouragement of Paul, is to see Jesus, to love his appearing, to win him as bridegroom. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that we're grasping that calling. That these things that come up in life, and I'm looking out here, and it's so precious to see so many, the cross-section that we have in this church, the cross-section of trial that we have in this church. It is absolutely amazing. And as the Word of God is being spoken, he's taking me in spirit and seeing that we're coming up against all of these different things in our lives. Whether they're problems in our health, whether they're problems in our families, whether it was with children or marriages or finance or whatever it may be. Let us tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Do you remember when, and we're going to have to go way back, when you were really in love with somebody? Like you are tonight, brothers, with your wives. And sisters, with your husbands. But let's go back in time to, like when you, we were really starting to get together. And I was thinking about this as I was reading, and thinking about my wife when we first started dating and courting. And, you know, there's a lot of family around. And all of the children, I mean, we were the youngest, so we had all these grandkids around and all the different places because, you know, it's always safe. You take those young kids, my sons are listening, we're all going to go out on a date together. The together date. Family. Good like old times, you know, back in B.C. You realize you're blessed not to be raised in my home. But it's a sweet thing. But I still will tell you this. There could have been a lot of commotion going around. A lot of things happening. Maybe kids screaming and all of those different things. But I was focused on her. I was focused on her. Didn't matter. I was with her. She's with me. You're with Jesus. I don't know what's going on right now. He does, obviously. But you're with him. This is the attention by the grace of God that he's bringing you through. These are the finishing touches. No matter where we're at tonight, Jesus is coming. We're but a step between us and death, every single one of us in here. Just as grass that grows up in the morning, it's going to be mowed down. I'm finding that out more and more. When you're hurting in body, call out to Him to say, Lord, give me the grace to absorb this so that I can think of You. You ever thought of that? He'll put you in a place, if you haven't, to do that. When you don't have enough, maybe, money in the bank, to not worry about that and say, Jesus, I need more of You. I need more of Your grace. You'll make the way. I'm having a problem in my family. Maybe I have a disagreement with my spouse and things are kind of spinning out of control. You're sons of God. You're sons of God. Don't let that devil get a leg up on you. You finish this out with joy. You praise Him in thankfulness to God. Count your blessings. I mean it, brothers and sisters. We've got so much, and we're about home. Really, you're about home. You don't realize it. 100 years to God is nothing. And I'm looking around here, I don't think any of us got 100 years anyways. But it'll be just a moment. Call out to Him from the ends of the earth. He'll see you through. But I'll finish this up. His hope, His joy, His crown of rejoicing. It was everything to Paul. Everything. His ministry summed up in two words, and I really believe in this letter, be ready. Not get ready anymore, be ready. You know the message. You do know this, brothers and sisters. Now be ready. And be ready tonight. Be ready tonight. He showed us here in just a matter of weeks, these people were receiving this. I'm not judging of where they were on the scale, but I know that this letter was written about a year after he met them. And he wasn't just bringing them in bit by bit. It was like, boom, here it is. Jesus is coming. Love is appearing. He said, read the Word, preach the Word, get into the Word and all of that. Don't get me wrong. But he said, just love is appearing. Fall in love with Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Don't try to one-up your brother. Actually be thankful. Enjoy for that brother and sister in Christ. I don't care what they did to you, but man, all you want them to do is run and run well. And just look at them run. And that's the greatest thing. That's how Paul was seeing them. And Paul was seeing them on that day. This is what's so exciting about this last verse. He was seeing them with him on that day. The bridal union of the sons of God. Has he ever given you that vision looking at your brothers and sisters in Christ? I hope he has. The bridal union of the sons of God. In a moment, I'll ask you, maybe look around here. I hate doing that. But if you can look around here at the bridal union and rejoice with your brothers and sisters of the sons of God, I think it's a good thing. But he could see that God was stirring their hearts. He was seeing that God was stirring their hearts to be true worshipers, worshiping Him in spirit and truth. So Christ-like was Paul's love that he was glorying in the work of grace in their lives. And their glory and their joy was his. Is your brother or sister's glory and joy yours? I hope it is. Because you know what? It'll be a jewel in your crown. It'll be a jewel in your crown. That's all it's there for. It's not to be resented. It's not to be envied. It's for me to glory and joy in. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for bringing us into Your presence. We thank You again that You're always on the throne for us. We thank You again, God, that You're bringing forth Your truth in love, and it's being spoken to hearts that You have prepared, that You're opening to receive. Thank You again for Your faithfulness. Thankful for Your love. and your sweet blessings to us. Just bless us as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen.